She's a real woman with a real life. She's someone you can relate to. Dawn Newton.
Welcome to the Dawn Newton Podcast. I am your host, Dawn Newton, back in studio. Joining me is Dr. Michelle Jackson, naturopathic physician here in Bend, Oregon. Today, we're wrapping up our three-part series talking all things GLP-1 agonist, most commonly known as Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. In part one, Dr. Jackson covered the history and the positive regenerative effects this protein peptide has had on chronic health issues. Part two focused on how to start a GLP-1 for weight loss, the side effects, and how to know if it's working. In part three, Dr. Jackson offers guidance on weaning off of a GLP-1, how our bodies naturally make GLP-1, and successfully maintaining those healthy lifestyle changes. Dr. Michelle Jackson, naturopathic physician here in Bend, Oregon. This is part three of our GLP-1 series, also known as Ozempic. Part one we did back in February, just really doing the deep dive, the history, the regenerative healing purposes of the GLP-1, and it's just pretty fascinating. And I think that was something that you felt pretty strongly about. It's just really, let's just do a deep dive on it and talk about it, because it is helping people heal other chronic issues.
Yeah.
But it's been around for a long time. So it's not like this is just brand new out of the lab, ready to go.
And it feels, and you know, it feels like that for many people. They're like, well, isn't this a, you know, a new medication? But no, I mean, it's been researched a really long time. It's just gotten to that you can do a once a week injection. And that's when it's really, it took off, because it's just so easy. And that was a couple years ago, therefore the whole craze.
Well, in the areas that we're seeing the regenerative part or the other healing, we're talking liver, heart,
brain, because it is a, just super quick, because we talked about this in the other shows, but it is a peptide or a protein. A protein is just smaller peptides linked together that our body naturally makes. So these new medications, although they're slightly different than the natural GLP that we make, there's a fatty acid added on to it, which makes it last the week long, because naturally GLP-1s only last about 2 to 5 minutes in the body. We produce them after we eat, and once again, it makes us feel hungry, positively affects insulin and glucose. But that's why there's no you can't do a blood draw to be like, oh, are you low in GLP-1? Will these medications work? Well, it won't show up, because it gets degraded so quickly.
And then in part two, we talked about weight loss. If people are wanting to have that conversation with their physician, not only for weight loss, but also for the chronic issues and seeing how that, like where your glucose is, high blood pressure, all of those things. But I do think, and you know, the doctor's here, so she can correct me, that the root cause to all of this really is obesity and weight.
It's a big part, like insulin, which is the hormone that controls weight and insulin, and, you know, weight and glucose, really does seem to be a big, you know, a big culprit. And inflammation. I mean, I personally believe the effect of GLP-1 on inflammation in the body is really, really key for these other health benefits that we're seeing. I think that's a big part of it.
Well, and just the stats, 75% of Americans are obese or overweight. Yep. 2 in 5 adults in America are obese, to over 41%.
Yeah.
And then we've got our kids, that over 20% of children in America are obese. So that's like 1 in 5.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not hard to figure out where that's coming from.
Right.
And it's just those lifestyle choices. But so here we are in part three, talking about if somebody, I guess somebody that's wanting to wean off. Now, I'm sure if you've had patients that are doing that, what was their reason for wanting to wean off?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, many times they've gotten to their weight loss goal, and so they're, or their blood sugars are where they want them to be. One thing we test is called an A1C level, which is like a 3-month look of where your blood sugars are at, and that might be at a really good level, or cost. I mean, these medications, even at really low doses that I try to have people do, and then the medication can last longer, they're still expensive. So yeah, people are wanting to go off of them for a number of reasons. And so all the things that we'll talk about today are good things to do even while you're on the medication, because it's just going to support going off of it food, you know, food choices, exercise, you know, there's supplements that we can talk about that can help your body naturally produce GLP, which you want to do even when you're on the medication.
Is there fear? I'm sure you're probably hearing that. It's like, okay, I've lost weight. The GLP-1 has helped my body heal. I'm doing all the things that they're afraid that if they stop that, the body's just going to revert back to, or their habits are. But I think anytime you have lost weight and you're doing a particular diet, you know, keto,
yeah,
any of those types of things that you're, if I go back to eating normally, which that's not the point.
Yeah.
Because what's normal?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think if you're going to go on these medications for weight loss or diabetes, et cetera, you have to look at the big picture. Like, you really need to look at, okay, I'm going to do this, and also look at my diet, you know, what I am eating. Because yes, the medications will lower your appetite, but still when you go to eat something, it needs to be the right food. I really counsel my patients to, when they're going on the GLP-1s, that it's not like, and we all want this sometimes, it's not just, here's your pill, quick fix. It's really doing everything so that you can support your body to naturally make GLP-1 when you are ready to go off of it. If you can go off of it. Some people with chronic diabetes are, you know, they may be on this medication for the rest of their lives, but not everybody.
Well, and the things that you're seeing that it's healing in people, I mean, it's definitely the weight loss, but then you're seeing other regenerative healing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's thyroid, liver, blood pressure, all those things.
Right.
So it's pretty fascinating.
Right. Oh, I know what you were asking, but can people be, you know, on them long term, et cetera? And sometimes I'll explain it as if, say, your thyroid stops functioning and you can't live without thyroid medication. So someone who needs thyroid medication, they need to be on it for the rest of their life. And we don't know, again, because like I said, there's no blood test. We don't know if people over time have just stopped making GLP-1. If that's the case, they might need to be on it for the rest of their lives. So you could think of it as a sort of a hormone replacement or a peptide replacement.
So one thing I think, and you stress that too, is that you have to do your part.
Mm-hmm.
And your part is the nutrition piece.
Yes.
And you got to exercise.
Yes.
And because it does, the GLP-1 does reduce that hunger.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of affects that little thing in your brain that kind of turns that off.
Yeah. And when people go off of it, they definitely, the medication that is, you know, they will say that they are hungrier, but that's where these habits that hopefully you can incorporate when you're using the medication, that you incorporate those by eating well. And there's foods that definitely help you make GLP-1 naturally. There's ways that you can continue to support that you should be doing when you're on the medication, but then it's so important when you're ready to go off.
And that fiber piece, I think that is something that I haven't always appreciated, but just doing the research as we've been doing on these episodes,
yes,
how important fiber is.
Yeah. So one of the things that GLP-1 does naturally is it makes you feel fuller faster. Definitely. Fiber is another thing, just eating it in your diet, that very much helps you feel fuller faster. So for example, and fiber, we're talking about there's soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. And the other thing I like to emphasize with people, like these food sources that help with GLP-1 also will have other positive effects. Like fiber also can reduce your cholesterol, you know, it helps with regular bowel movements. It can reduce blood sugar on its own. So fiber is definitely a big piece, because what happens is when we eat soluble fiber, it absorbs a lot of water and it becomes almost like this gelatinous mass in your GI tract, your stomach, and that's what makes you feel full. And there's tons of soluble fiber. Like, I'll just list off, you know, a bunch, like, the, you know, oats and beans, carrot, potatoes, chickpeas, I mean, flaxseed, chia seeds. There's a plethora of foods that you can add to your diet that have this soluble fiber that will help you feel full faster. And fiber supports the microbiome, which is the gut bugs and your GI tract that make GLP-1. So working on fiber is just, it's imperative. But I don't know if anybody who's tried this, you know, you might hear like, okay, I need to get 30 grams of fiber in a day or 35. That's a lot of fiber. So I often have people track maybe for 3 days or a week, estimate how much fiber you're naturally getting, or not naturally, but usually usually getting in your diet. And if you're only at 5 grams and you try to bump that up to 30, you're going to feel miserable, you know, bloating, everything else. So it is, you need to work on an individual basis.
It's just getting the fruits and vegetables in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really what we already know we should be doing. Get a salad. Just, you know, eat an apple.
Right.
Eat a banana.
Right.
Just, it's not really that difficult when you say fiber. I mean, there is fiber supplements and that you can add to,
sure,
to your drinks.
Psyllium is an excellent fiber supplement that many people will take, or, you know, people will do flaxseed, which I support all of that too. But right, it's eating real foods, whole foods. Like you just said, Dawn, it's stuff that we know, but, you know, we know we should be doing, but hopefully this is helpful to be like, oh, well, this is good for me to help support the good gut bugs that make GLP-1 naturally.
And don't think we're saying, you know, French fries or wine is not a food group. That's not fruit.
Right.
So don't try to twist that.
Yes.
Because not that I have it.
Yeah, not at all.
Not speaking from experience.
Right.
Getting
right.
My fruit.
So that, you know, that fiber is a way to naturally support making your own GLP-1 and makes you feel fuller longer or faster, which is what the GLP-1 drugs do also. But the GLP-1 drugs they don't necessarily support your microbiome, but they're are a couple studies that they do positively affect your microbiome. But what I was going to say, I feel like the food sources have all these other benefits that the GLP-1 medications do not.
Well, and I think, you know, as you're cleaning up your diet, because you need to do that, and that's where you need to do a deep dive with yourself, you know, the
yes.
habits that we do we're heading into the office or wherever, and we grab the cup of whatever from whatever drive-thru. I mean, I get it. And it's not easy to break those sometimes because you're just so used to that.
Yes.
But it's also being curious about how your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And we are so creatures of habit, and we don't like things taken away from us.
That is true.
we turn into toddlers.
Yeah. don't take that away.
Yes. But at the same time, I think looking at, you know, the lifestyle and, you know, if you had the opportunity to live to 100, what do you want that to look like?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all of that. And it doesn't mean that you can't ever have these things.
Right.
It's just being curious about the body and like the GLP-1, you know, when you talk about whether it's your glucose, your high blood pressure, you realize that it's a machine. The body is a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And think of yourself as kind of like a science project, because it's not just like we're just going to go after the glucose and isolate it, because the glucose affects so many other things in the body.
Yes.
Realizing that everything is connected. It's not just, oh, I have to lower my cholesterol. Well, yes, if it's high, absolutely. But look at what else that's affecting.
Right.
And I think we just like, oh, make my cholesterol better. But we don't think about the rest of the things going on in the body.
Yeah. How it's all interconnected. And sometimes people do need to work with a dietitian or a nutritionist or a health coach, or even have some counseling around if they've got some, you know, some food issues, because
some of those emotional things that get tied to food.
Yes.
Yes. Is it a substitute for something?
Right.
Or when you get anxious or certain things that trigger that.
Yes.
And none of it is bad. It's just understanding who you are and how. It's kind of interesting if you kind of take the emotion out or think you've been bad, I have to go on a diet, or I can't have this anymore.
Oh, yeah. No,
just
not at all.
Shelve all of that.
Yes.
And just really be kind to yourself.
Yeah. Because I think everybody's been in the boat where you've made some sort of lifestyle change and you know you feel good. Like, you know, you think about like, oh, I really do feel good. But whether it's stress or something triggers you to get into that not so great habit, it's easy to get back into that. But everybody has had most people have had a point where they've felt really good and, you know, had to do with probably how they were eating or not eating.
If somebody's wanting to come off of the GLP-1, do you do it gradually?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great, great, great question. So to back up too, and I think this, just to put in a plug for either a functional medicine doctor or a naturopathic medical doctor, in general, we usually spend more time with our patients. And I feel like when someone is put on a GLP-1 medication, they really should have the support of diet and lifestyle, you know, learning all this stuff. And sometimes they're, regular medical doctors, they just don't have the time. unfortunately. So just by starting someone on a GLP-1 medication and already talking to them about the dietary changes that they're going to have to make, et cetera, oftentimes we can keep the medication dose low to begin with, and like the whole most of the time that they're on the medication. So then getting weaning off the medication, many times they're not on a high dose to begin with. But oh yeah, definitely going very, very slowly. We're talking like months to wean off is what I prefer. And that way we can give these other tips, like the protein in your diet and some of the other things that we'll talk about, time to help you make GLP-1. I might also put people on some supplements that have been shown to naturally help you produce GLP-1 while we're going off of the medication, the prescription medication. But yes, very slowly is the way to go.
And talk about, too, that lifestyle piece. I mean, the food, diet, sleep, all of that is mm-hmm. so important. I mean, you really need to commit to that.
Yeah, you do. No, and sleep, I mean, I think we probably all can relate to this. I think, like, when we we don't have a good night's sleep, it's been shown time and time again. Well, it does lower GLP-1 production, lack of sleep. It also lowers leptin, which is the hormone that helps us feel, you know, tells us to stop eating. So sleep is probably one of the biggest underrated or not talked about health hacks that can really, really help the overall body. But yeah, it's all of it. It's looking at the big picture. Definitely.
I remember those college days where it was like a badge of honor if we stayed up all night studying for that final.
Oh,
or, you know, I'm only running on 4 hours sleep. And even now, some of those a little younger than us, YOLO, you only live once.
Yes.
Had somebody had it tattooed on their arm.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Or, yeah, you only live once, or I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Right.
You know, it's not, that's nothing to be proud of.
No.
Rethink that process.
Yes. No, the the research on sleep is just, it's fascinating to me. It's something that I've really, really have learned to appreciate. I mean, you know this. I have four kids. They're now all teenagers and older. But there was many years I didn't get enough sleep, and I could run on not that much sleep. But now I can tell that it's so important. It's really, really, and some of the other things I think that people don't always realize that they can do, like in that one of the many things the GLP-1 medications do is it decreases cravings. It's been shown to affect some areas in your brain that help you lower kind of that food noise, I call it, like you're thinking about food and what I'm going to eat next. But there's also brain chemicals that do that too, serotonin, dopamine, and you can test those. I mean, some people just happen to have low serotonin, low dopamine levels, and that's a test that might be something I want to do with a patient before they go off the medications, to be like, all right, what can we do to support your serotonin? And if someone has some low serotonin levels, you naturally make serotonin through amino acids. So if they've got some low serotonin, they're probably going to have more cravings. And so by getting their serotonin increased, it'll help when they go off the medication to not have those cravings as much. So there's a lot of things that you can do to support being successful and keeping the weight off and going off. And the other thing, too, I think people just really need to think about, we've all got in our head this idea of an ideal weight. Well, weight does not mean health. You know, I'll say that, like, if you can be healthy and you're going to weigh 10 pounds more than you think you should, that's so much more important. It's rethinking a bit what your ideal weight is. I mean, you really just want to be healthy.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the relationship with the scale, the mirror, all those things.
Oh,
and there's so many other ways to do that. I mean, that those numbers kind of mess with your head. I'm curious too, talking about, because we're hearing a lot about seed oils and things like that, mm-hmm. but like the healthy fat.
Yeah. I tell people, do not be afraid of fats. I mean, I think we probably grew up in an era where it was like a low fat craze, and everybody was like low fat this. But what ended up happening in those foods is they would add a lot of sugar because you were taking away the good fat. There's kind of two kind of fats that I talk a lot about. They're omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids, which I'll talk about some foods that have a lot of that. Omega-3 fatty acids increase GLP-1 production in your body, so naturally. fats such as canola, corn, safflower, they are not omega-3 fatty acids. You know, they are very inflammatory. Omega-6, and I'll get to the threes. I know I'm talking about these other ones. But omega-6 fatty acids, they can be good too, but we tend to get plenty of omega-6s in our food. Like red meats have a lot of omega-6 fatty acids. And usually we need more omega-3 fatty acids, which are things like flax oil, wild caught fatty fish. I always laugh at this when I look at these lists. I mean, it's like anchovy, mackerel. Well, I'm not necessarily
eating. Make sure you have some mints handy.
Yeah, right. I actually went shopping. I went to go see my older boys in Boise this past weekend. And my one son, we're at Costco, he actually eats like tins of anchovies. I'm amazed. But anyway, you don't have to do anchovies. I mean, but swordfish, wild caught salmon, they all have the good omega-3 fatty acids. Even mussels, sea bass, oysters, but lobster as well. But also olive oil, avocados, flaxseed oil. So there's a lot of ways that you can get omega-3 fatty acids. And you can supplement with it too. Like you can supplement with flaxseed oil and fish oils. But they, again, that naturally supports your body making GLP-1 on its own.
You know, and I'm curious too, because you had mentioned canola, yeah, corn, safflower, mm-hmm, they're inflammatory.
Yeah.
What does that mean? How would we know that's happening?
Right. So, well, a number of ways. Like there are blood tests for inflammation markers. Some people, if they're listening, they might have had like it's called a CRP or a SED rate. So you can do actual testing for inflammation, but people also will know, they might feel like their joints are sore, if you're getting rashes or, you know, red skin, or they just, you feel inflamed. Even headaches. I mean, anything that's got,
the body isn't shy about telling you when they don't like what you just put in it.
That is
so true. Many things.
When you pay attention. I mean, that's another big part of this is like, you know, trying to connect your head with your body, where I think some people are really good at just going and not thinking about maybe how they're feeling or what they ate and how are they actually feeling after this. You know, are you really tired because you just had your latte and your cookie and it's an hour later and you're crashing and you just go ahead and have more?
I need more because I'm on crashing now.
Yeah.
That's where it gets counterintuitive, mm-hmm, especially, and I know I've done that, and I think I maybe even said when, you know, doing a cleanse or like getting the sugar and the dairy and all the stuff out and then just eating clean.
Yes.
Since we all kind of know what that means.
Yes.
But then I remember having headaches and I didn't feel good. Mm. And I'm like, Michelle, I feel better when I'm eating crap. It's like, Dawn, you're going through withdrawals.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting if you think about it. But once you get through it,
yes,
then when you reintroduce those things, your body's not shy.
Yes.
Headaches, maybe some intestinal distress,
right?
Maybe stomach ache, all kinds of things. So it is really interesting.
Yes.
Like really, if you take your body on like a science project,
mm-hmm,
and just be curious about it.
That's a really good way to think about it. Like,
like if you go maybe a week without dairy,
yeah,
what's the minimum amount of days you could probably go with no dairy? We're, mm-hmm, talking cheese, milk.
Yeah, and so you like
and
to know how you
reintroduce it.
Oh, then you have and reintroduce. Yeah, gosh, it depends on the person, but yeah, I mean, I would definitely think 7 to 10 days, and then will be enough time, and then a reintroduction,
and then make yourself a big old fatty grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah,
all that dairy.
Yeah, your body's
see what your body says to you.
Right, or another food. Like some people are fine with dairy, but you know if they do that with wheat or something like that,
gluten,
they just feel exactly
all the things
feel terrible.
It's just being curious about your body and reading the labels.
Yeah. Yes.
What it is, what am I really eating? So it's really interesting.
And there is a lot of talk right now at, people about ultra processed foods, which have, it's been in the news, and ultra processed foods have been around for a really long time. And sometimes patients ask me, what is ultra processed foods? And a good definition is like, if you don't have an ingredient in your house, to make something, and it's in the package that you're reading as one of the ingredients, that's an ultra processed food. but that's, that's what we eat a lot of. But it does go back to like we were just saying, the foods with a lot of omega-3 fatty acids are whole foods. They're fish, they're avocados, they're foods that are real food, not processed. And I do want to talk about protein, because that's a bit, that's a big one for GLP-1 making it, but also to support your body and your muscles for weight loss too. Eating more protein in general, hands down, has been shown to naturally make more GLP-1, naturally. It can be animal source, or it definitely can be plant source, like, you know, nuts or tofu, soy, etc. That's all protein. But yeah, fish, you know, chicken, beef, buffalo, I mean, dairy is, you know, considered protein as well. And there's been some studies too that if you eat protein, so say you're having breakfast and you're having some protein with some carbs, or like, I don't know, say you're having some Greek yogurt with an oatmeal, like having the protein before carbs, you make more GLP-1 by eating that protein first. Protein just makes more GLP-1. The big part about protein too, it helps build muscle, body's muscle. And muscle is so, so important for regulating out glucose. I mean, I often think about muscle is its whole other organ system in itself. Like, it's what your muscle needs glucose as fuel. So if you're exercising or you're going for a walk after eating, your muscles will take the glucose from the meal and use it as energy. So by eating protein, and therefore that really helps you build muscle, strength training, weight training, again, building muscle, that in itself is going to dramatically help keep your glucose under control. And like I said, eating protein, skeletal muscle will make more GLP-1 naturally.
And are we supposed to hate carbs?
No. No, absolutely. Well, we were just talking about fiber. All those vegetables, they're carbs. It's just whether you're doing simple carbs, and that just means, like, you know, food that turns into sugar really quickly is a simple carb. But, you know, again, vegetables, fruit, they're all carbohydrates. It's just if they're more complex carbohydrates and turn into sugar more slowly because it has the fiber, that's good.
That's cookies,
completely
chips,
fine.
Your
yes.
pasta.
Right.
It's all in moderation.
No.
And
right.
it doesn't mean you can't ever have a chip or a cookie again.
Heck no.
But just start realizing what that means. But yeah, those carbs, because people are becoming more aware, they're educating themselves
yeah.
on their body
mm-hmm.
and the GLP-1. And we've talked about this previously, how some of the big fast food guys
yeah, get nervous.
Aren't really happy about
yeah.
this. What's this phenomena that's going on? Well, people are waking up and understanding and taking control of their health.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, the fast food, that drive-through line isn't quite as long as it used to be. But yes. you're also seeing, I don't drink these things or eat these things, but where they're like adding probiotics to the sugary drink.
Right.
So that you think
it's healthy.
Right.
Right.
Now, whether it is or not, I don't know because I don't consume them.
Right.
But I do look at the label.
Yeah.
But so I'm just kind of like this little bait and switch.
That's a really good way to put it.
And we're seeing that in foods. They're adding, you know, we're mm-hmm. going to add more of this, or at least on the label.
Yeah.
But then when you think about how much of that probiotic does the FDA really require to be in there?
Yeah. And I don't even know if they do. I don't even know if the FDA says anything about probiotics, honestly.
They say a lot about compounding pharmacy. That's another discussion.
Yeah, but I know that might be one of our other ones when we talk about hormones or something.
I'm like, you approved a Twinkie?
Yeah.
You won't let...
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's right. A whole other thing. But no, carbs are not bad. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, you can't have any carbs. You know, most people, when they really, like you said, if you think about it as an experiment of like, okay, let me do this for a week or 2 weeks and just observe how I'm feeling. And that might be including of like, let me eat protein before I eat anything else. Oh, do I feel fuller longer? Do I snack less? Many people find that they do. Because those simple carbs too, the other thing too, there are a lot of calories that digest quickly. So you're getting a lot of calories and it goes through your system quickly, versus if you're having fiber and things slow down, you're getting nutrients and you feel fuller longer. It's just a different form of carbohydrates.
Well, what's interesting, just as we're talking about this, how it really does come down to lifestyle.
Yeah.
It comes down to those choices, because when mm-hmm. you're saying, if you're doing your part on the GLP-1, meaning you're really paying attention to your diet, exercise, sleep, really kind of, you know, doing your part, because yeah. this is a tool, not a fix.
Right.
We all want the fix. Right. I get it. I mean, right. Yes, but it's a tool. But then everything that you're saying about, if you know, the protein and the fatty acids and the, it helps promote the peptide.
Yeah.
Maybe if we straightened up.
Well, and think
and
about
learned,
it. Yeah. Yeah.
We would be. So it does feel like all this fast food and the thing. And I know we're all busy mm-hmm. and I know we do the best we can.
Yes.
And,
oh, absolutely.
And I know that food can be expensive.
Yes.
I get the challenges. But if you just make one small
challenge. Yes. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Just one thing.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, cold turkey, that doesn't always work. You know, cold turkey, when you go to the gym after New Year's and you're just like going hard and then you can't walk for the next
right.
week.
Yeah.
Food, it's the same thing with food.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it really goes back to, like, I was looking at this one study, like, this was just so interesting to me that chewing your food more, and they actually had, like, oh, okay, there's people that chewed, you know, 10 times a bite, 20, 30, et cetera. But it was shown over and over again, chewing your food more increased GLP-1. So the more you chewed, the more GLP-1 was naturally made. So, like, and eating slowly just produced more GLP-1. So, you know, it has to do these, like, I don't want to even call them silly, but they're simple lifestyle things. Like, if I actually sit down and eat real food and chew my food and have a nice conversation, I'll make more GLP-1. Well, think about all the other benefits from doing that too. It's a no-brainer, but like you said, we're so busy and we've gotten into these habits, and
I think it'd be a fun challenge for a family. Like, let's get back to the Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
Or a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Some dinner.
Right.
Something where we're all cooking in the kitchen.
Yes.
So not only does that help relationships and the talking that goes on, it's kind of like that Sunday drive, but just getting back to making something
mm-hmm.
and the fruits and vegetables and having fun with it.
Yeah.
And even trying new foods. Because I know when mm-hmm. we eliminated gluten and dairy, and that was like 10 years ago, I think we got tested.
Right.
I mean, I think
at least
I did go cold. I threw so much out of the house. But then we tried other things that tasted so bad.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, my. It's come so far.
Yes.
Since 2009 or whatever year that was.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was like, oh, my God, this is horrible.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, it had. You're
fun
right.
Fun with it.
Right. You're right. It had. The food choices have come a really long way. And we're talking about all these real, you know, I say simple, but it's not as simple to implement. But, you know, there are some things I'll also have people do, because I think people will be curious about this, about like hacks, I would say, that you can, you know, have been shown to make more GLP-1, like bitter foods have been really shown to produce more GLP-1, like hops, even coffee, for those coffee lovers out there, that because that is a bitter, if you don't add the sugar and the milk and everything else. And coffee itself is actually really, really bitter. But there, apple cider vinegar and ginger and green tea and resveratrol, like there are studies on certain supplements that have been shown to produce more GLP-1. So again, I mentioned those for when people are weaning off the GLP-1 and they're nervous about, you know, not taking something, or why we're still working on doing all these good dietary choices so that they can stay off the medication. There are supplements and like hacks that you can do that have been shown to make GLP-1. Like in particular, a couple probiotics. One's called Acromantia. I just love to say that. I love that. Acromantia. Yeah, no. And Lactobacillus, a certain type of Lactobacillus, they also make GLP-1 naturally. So there's stool tests you can do to find out if you're low in those, or I might supplement. There's no harm in supplementing with those probiotics to just, again, not support your body in making that on its own. There's a lot of hacks that you can do. Or if you decide not to go on the medication, all of these things that we're talking about, these simple but maybe not easy lifestyle choices, that's going to help you make more GLP-1 without the medication.
And I'm curious, as far as the GLP-1 and our body, how it makes it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody, like, this is a tool, not a fix,
mm-hmm.
getting the body to get it going again, because I know that's one thing we've talked about in the past, is how influencers, talking mm-hmm. heads, whoever, your friend, family might say to you, you just need to move more and eat less.
Right.
And sometimes that doesn't always work,
no.
especially if you have had chronic issues for a long time.
Yes.
It's kind of like your body doesn't, it just kind of, not to say it stops working,
mm-hmm.
but not everybody's just out of sync.
Yeah.
Kind of like all the balls are up in the air and they're trying to figure out where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just need that assistance. And I don't think
yeah.
anybody should feel shame about it or think that they're a failure or any of that negative stuff that happens
right.
because they don't walk in your shoes.
Yes.
They don't know the relationship you have with your physician, with yourself, all the things that you have tried to
yes.
do. So that's something to really mm-hmm. account as well.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, how can you be the healthiest that you can be? And sometimes maybe this medication is something that you do need to be healthy. I mean, there's studies on it, people with high ACE scores, which are adverse childhood events, that even what's happened in childhood affects their health long term. And sometimes I'll have them do an ACE score questionnaire because it does help me figure out like maybe some other things we need to uncover and work on. Like it's when I have someone on a GLP-1, we need to work together and figure out why is this helping the person? Like, you know, are they overeating because of stress? Are they truly making not enough GLP-1, or is their microbiome out of balance and they don't have that acromantia? So it's again, it's a tool, and it's trying to help us figure out what we do need to get in balance so that when they go off of it.
It's so amazing. We just have a few minutes left.
It goes by so fast.
I know.
Because we didn't even talk about stress and everything else that affects GLP-1. But people can kind of get that. Like, we're talking about just all these positive overall lifestyle choices that not only will it help you make more GLP-1, all these other health benefits.
Well, that's just it. The stress, too, because then you're looking for something to feel better. You're
mm-hmm.
looking for that energy. You're looking for maybe something to numb
yes.
the stress.
Yes.
So there's all
yes.
of that, too, but also just what that does to the body
mm-hmm.
separate from food.
Yes.
So that stress piece, that's a double-edged sword for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really wreak havoc. So there's...
Exactly. And like you said, like I have some patients that want to do it all and they're that personality that they can do it all at once. Or it's start with one thing. Like you said, just one small change. Just
yep.
kind of observe
it. If there's a slip, don't beat yourself
yeah.
up.
No.
Because that's life.
Yes.
You can have the birthday cake.
Right.
Your body might respond differently.
Yes.
If you haven't been eating,
right.
Eggs and sugar and all that for a while, but
right.
that's okay.
Yeah, and that's where the growth comes in. Like when you're doing good, and then you slip up, and actually when you realize like, oh, I'm back in that pattern again, that's the most important part.
Right.
That's the growth.
There's so much to this. It's
there
pretty
is.
Fascinating.
It's
I
great.
Think.
We had so much fun with this GLP-1. We might have to revisit it.
We did what we came to conquer.
There we go.
Parts 1, 2, and 3, but we know there's going to be all these
there's
going to
be so much more information coming
as
up.
As it goes on.
Yes.
Michelle, where can people go? Like, if they want to reach out to you, have a discussion, get some advice, resources, mm-hmm. where would you like us to go?
Yeah, the easiest is my website, which is drjacksonnd.com, or you can call the office. I always like to do a shout out to my wonderful staff, and that number is 541-385-0775.
Thank you for coming in. We have
You're
more
welcome.
Discussions coming. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dawn Newton podcast, and a special thank you to my guest, Dr. Michelle Jackson, naturopathic physician here in Bend, Oregon, wrapping up our 3-part series talking all things GLP-1. For more information on Dr. Jackson, please visit drjacksonnd.com, and be sure and check out my website where you can find all 3 parts of the GLP-1 series at dawnnewton.com. The Dawn Newton podcast is written, produced, and hosted by Dawn Newton.